Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Richard Buckley, president and CEO of Far Vista Interactive. And the company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is FVSTA. And the company operates through its wholly owned subsidiary, which is Far Vista Holdings. And the company develops online active video games for the PC, Microsoft Xbox, and Sony PlayStation. Thanks for joining us today, Richard.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Now, start off, the recent news coming out is Sony Online is test driving your Run the Gauntlet game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sony Online, based in San Diego, is test driving the PC version of our Run the Gauntlet game. For us, that's just a great compliment to have an organization of that size take a look at a development studio like us and go, hey, we'd like to take a look at your product. So that has taken us a while to build that particular relationship with them, so we're really excited about them taking a look at our product.
Well, great. And so you are a holding company, correct?
That is correct, yes. We are a company that makes video games. And so we've been a pretty traditional development studio. We've worked on other people's products over the years and have sort of gotten big enough that we wanted to make the step of actually making our own intellectual property. And Run the Gauntlet is the first game of ours that we're bringing out. And, of course, we're working on another game, which is called Sheba's Curse as well. So we're kind of excited to be able to move into that genre. And one of the trends with development studios is starting to try and put our toes in the water with trying to go through the stock market and venture to be able to raise funding as opposed to going through our traditional publisher-funded means. So it's kind of an exciting time for us.
Certainly. And, yeah, so talk to us about some of the other market trends, Richard, and how well-positioned Far Vista Interactive is to capitalize on them.
Well, yeah, absolutely. From a gaming perspective, maybe what I'll do is I'll talk about sort of gaming in general, and then I'll talk about ways that companies like us have raised funds in the past and what we're trying to do, which is a little more dynamic. First-person shooters, on the planet, doesn't matter whether they're on the PC or Xbox 360 or PS3s or the Wii or any of the handheld devices, first-person shooters are the most lucrative games that publishers can put out there. And so some of the
Doom and all those.
Oh, absolutely. And some of the real recent biggies are, Call of Duty, Gears of War, Halo 3. Some of these are all some really big titles. And at any given time, there's probably 40 first-person shooters that come out at a time. And for the publishers, they do very well. Gamers like to be able to run around in a virtual world and have really big guns shooting each other. And one of the really neat developments is that, we like to be able to play with our friends, and we like to take our friends and go shoot other friends online, like the whole sort of advent of online development.
Talk smack to them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, the interesting thing is that when a game comes out, there'll be a single-player version, and it might take you 3 to 6 hours to wrap the entire game and get through that. But what people will spend hundreds and hundreds of hours on is playing online. And that's the part where our company has kind of come in with our product because, of course, a small development house like us are going to have a tough time competing with Microsoft and Halo 3. But where the niche that we're kind of walking into is this whole kind of development of tournaments. And traditionally, tournaments have been done where, let's show up in New York and let's play a big weekend and I'll pay my $100, get in as a single player, or maybe I'll have a couple buddies and we'll pay our $400 and we'll do some kind of tournament. Whether we're physically present or whether we'll do it, on our Xboxes at home from a distance, there's a couple ways we can register and do these kinds of things. And so over the course of the weekend, we'll battle out and we'll see what kind of prizes we can get. Now, unfortunately, my twitchy finger is not as good as it used to be, so I don't get to be ranked 77th in the world anymore. But some of the better players can certainly make $100,000 a year just doing these kinds of tournaments. And conversely, they even get to a little bit of celebrity status, and you can see their picture on the side of a Sprite bottle. So the tournament stuff. Yeah. And so the tournament stuff is starting to really come up. Now, but there's a long time in between these things. And so what we're doing as a twist is we're offering players a tournament every 20 minutes. And so they can choose to come into a game with 10 or, you know, 10 or 25 other players, and they can go through an actual tournament in 20 minutes. Pricing for these things is very much lower. So instead of me having to hawk out $100, well, get every player to throw a buck a game into a particular game, and they can fight out over the tournament prizes for that. And of course, there are consecutive. We've also got where if people want to pay a little bit more, they certainly can. So you can pay, you know, $20 a player to have 20 players coming in, and you guys can be fighting over $400 in a game that is won or lost in 20 minutes. And so the adrenaline factor for players is really, really cool. And we've actually twisted it a little bit even more. Traditionally, it's whoever gets the most kills gets the biggest prize. You know, there's a first, second, and third. But now we've set it up so that everybody can take something out of a game because we take what people pay to get into a game and we turn it into tokens. And those tokens are generated in the first 15 minutes of the game. So you have to actually fight over them and pick them up. Now, Juan, if you were running in and you shot me and over my still steaming body I was holding 300 tokens, well, you come and a little coin appears and you take it and run. Well, you know, 15 seconds later I pop back into the game, I hold my F1 tab down and I see, you know, 1, 1, 2, 3 now has the 300 tokens. I'm going to go get them. And so it kind of becomes a back and forth kind of thing to the very end of the game. And whatever you're holding at the end of the game, that's your prize, and you take it with you. So there can be some bigger sort of pools of money developed, and there can be some smaller stuff, and lots of people get out with lots of stuff. So it takes this whole sort of tournament niche, and for us, does something that right now nobody else is doing. So for a small company, that's a nice place to be.
So do you monetize, or do you make your profits from, I guess, from a certain percentage of the full stake, or from the?
Well, actually, what we do is that when we sell tokens, we actually charge a percentage.
Okay.
So what the players are putting into a tournament, there's no kind of scrape or anything like that. We charge an admin fee and an internet fee for being able to handle things for them, and that's done up front.
Great. And,
Oh,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I was going to say, and for us, that gives us a nice percentage and allows us to realize our revenue without people having to spend their tokens.
Right, and it also kind of caters to every kind of, you know, gamer from every skill level and also people with different financial, you know, situations.
So. Well, absolutely. So, I mean, we were doing some interesting playtesting with 18 to 25-year-olds and going, you know, are you willing to blow $20 in a night? And if you think about it, paying a buck to get into a game, and, you know, there's some time that's involved in trying to collate the players into a game, so they might play two games an hour. Well, that's $2 an hour that they're spending. They're spending, you know, they're getting 10 hours of play for $20.
Right.
And so they were very willing to kind of shell that out. And, of course, the excitement, I mean, if you think the adrenaline level, like we used to be excited just killing our friends. Now we get to go, oh, who's got the biggest pool of, you know, money at the end of the day? Really kind of adrenaline's up the game. And it changes the gameplay. Like I used to hate snipers. you know, in the old first-person shooter days, it's whoever has the most kills wins. So if somebody can find a nice spot where they don't get killed and they can pick off other people, it's a nice strategy. But the problem becomes, in our game, you can't pick up any tokens.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what we've done is, in a sense, we've kind of revitalized gameplay where you got to kind of come out and go a mano, you know, go toe to toe and a mano to a mano to be able to pick up this stuff. And it really makes it a much more exciting, dynamic game. And then you get to watch, you know, on the top of your screen how many tokens you're picking up and who's got what and where you sit with all that. And the adrenaline factor is really cool.
Right. Well, yeah, and whenever there's money involved, it certainly, you know, raises the stakes.
Absolutely. And so, and of course, and the nice thing from our model is that from the player's perceptive, it's a little bit of money. But from what we're actually pulling in, I mean, it is not uncommon for a first-person shooter to have 100,000 concurrent players playing.
Right. Well, yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, it's, you know, it's cheaper than going to a movie or...
Absolutely.
You know, something like that. So,
and we're going to sponsor, and like, you know, like some of the other tournament organizations out there, we are going to sponsor some big money tournament weekends where you have the ability to come in at lower sort of values. And as the time and the tournament goes on, we start offering bigger buy-ins for the different kinds of games. So if you can get to a point where you've got, you know, 20 players that each had to pay $10,000 to get into a round, it makes for quite exciting gameplay.
Yeah, higher stakes, for real.
Yep.
And Good stuff, Richard. And what would you say are some of the other things that that differentiates the company from, you know, some of the other players in the sector? I guess, you know, it's a pretty niche market, so do you have a lot of competitors, first off? And
right now we have no competitors, and so we're very much looking forward to the fact that we're bringing the game out shortly. And it is a good thing to be first to market. The other interesting strategy I think that people should be aware of with us is that we are not just targeting the North American market. As I speak right now, my VP of Development's in Singapore at one of the game shows that is going on there this week, and what he's doing is we're trying to hook up with partners across Southeast Asia, including China, and in fact, we even opened some discussions with some companies in India this last week. And so we're trying to find some partners that can carry the game for us out into some of these other markets. And of course, just to give you an example of some of the online players in another country, we're currently discussing with what is the third largest game company in China, and they have 54 million online user accounts in their system.
Wow.
Yeah, so, boy, you get 10% of their players playing on a regular basis. It really gives you some neat dynamics to the numbers. And what's really different about us is that in the online space, some of the really successful online companies, whether they're being carried by Sony Online, who we're enjoying talking with, or whether you're dealing with some of the big games like Blizzard's Warcraft, they charge X amount a month. So, you know, whether it's $10 or $15 or $20 a month, and what they try and do is get a lot more players. So if you have 10 million players that are paying $15 a month, that's a nice cash stream. But that's sort of it that you can suck out of your players. For a traditional game like Halo 3, you know, you buy the game initially and you can kind of go out and play, but all Microsoft can really draw is the initial sale of the game. You know, whether they make 10 or 20% off the $60 that they sell for, in the first 4 to 5 months for a traditional game, a game company has made 90% of their money that they will make off a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not small. I mean, it's not small, but of course that's when the revenue stream ends. And what's dynamic for us is that we will get players to continue paying all the time.
Yeah, exactly. The actual profits start when they buy the game.
Absolutely.
Certainly, you know, certainly the sky's the limit on how many times they play and, you know, re-ante up, as you might call it.
Yeah, and of course, from a marketing perspective, everything that you can pay to play, when you buy the game, you can do for free. So we actually have a silver token side that is completely free, and they can go, and that's something that the company supports from an online perspective with servers and the whole shebang, and that allows them to be able to sort of, especially new players, get some comfort level of before they go on the pay-to-play side, go, oh, I'm doing pretty good on this side. I think I'll now, you know, give it a try on the pay side. So it gives the players a lot of choice of whether they want to really go into a tournament kind of setting or whether they just like to practice and have some fun with some buddies. So,
right, exactly. So you want to get a little practice. So in terms of the company's growth, will you just kind of changing gears here, will you look to grow organically? Would you consider some M&A activities? And, you know, if so, what are some of the synergies that you would look for?
Well, I think right now, can I answer that by giving a little bit of a background of how companies like us most often fund games? And I think that'll give sort of a picture of what it is that we're trying to do from a funding perspective and from a growth perspective. Traditionally, I would go to a publisher and go, you know, our project is going to cost X amount to make. The publisher would front the money to us, and depending on how big a game company we are or how big a development company we are and how much work we've done before, you know, we might get 10 points, we might get 15 points on the net income that actually comes in from the game. So in a lot of ways, most development companies kind of make what the publisher gives you. How much you'll see later is not necessarily that big a stream. And to be quite frank, I mean, the publishers are taking the risk by putting the money into the game, so they reap the greater rewards in that kind of relationship. And that's what the lion's share of how development companies are funded. That's how that works. Now, we ourselves have kind of done what publishers are doing in the sense that there are a lot of publishers that are listed on a lot of exchanges, and they raise funds to invest in us. But they reap the rewards for doing that, and their shareholders reap the rewards that their publishers reap. So sort of mid-size game companies like us are now coming into the markets and going, hey, well, why don't we try and go to shareholders directly, see if they'd like to take some risk with us so that they can reap the rewards from this. So we ourselves are not publisher-funded. We're self-funded and have had a kind of an array of investors that have gotten us to this point where the game's made, ready to go, and we're ready now to use the market to be able to help us to distribute. So if we're successful, our shareholders would do very well, and we basically just plan on growing the company. We've got a number of other game types that are kind of in the works to come out. I mentioned another game which is called Shiva's Curse, and the little twist on that one is that instead of coins just being lying around for you to pick up, we now have mummies that are the coin generators themselves. So now the coin generators are actually trying to kill you while you play, and you've got to kill them to get the coin away from them. So it actually ups the dynamic level of that again. But so for investors, what we think is really cool is that they can come with us to join us on something that is a new twist on a really existing big market. They can join us in this whole tournament thing that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And, of course, the gaming industry as a whole is bigger than the entire film industry and the music industry combined. And it just, even in the recession, it hasn't let up. So it really is a nice place to be right now. And, of course, if they join us at the beginning, they can reap the rewards that we receive.
Right. Well, you know, I hate to use the word recession-proof, but it's certainly something proven that, you know, during a recession, people tend to stay home more and do, you know, at-home-based activities. So,
well, absolutely. You know,
a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps you can walk us through your background experience, Richard, as well as that of some of the key management team over at Far Vista Interactive.
Well, sure, absolutely. I have been involved in games, and the whole sort of 3D world itself now for probably 15, 20 years. In educational background, I'm a BA, B.Ed., and an MBA. And I have been, in fact, I spent the last 7 years as a professor of 3D animation and computer game design. And in that time have consulted on a number of published titles that have come out. Our VP of development is himself a PhD student in comp sci. And he's also a requirements engineer and has been very involved in the software development industry now for about 25 years. And so he is our genius techno-weenie who we very much enjoy having around. It's been responsible for the technology that we have going. Bruce Hogarth, who is our CFO, is the gentleman who is right now in Singapore. He himself has been involved in business development for about 25 years and is also an MBA or in background. And so his specialty has been taking companies from North America and hooking them together with business partners in Southeast Asia and Europe. And so we've been really excited to get him on board because that's exactly what we're trying to do with our company. So those are our three key players. And then let's, for all the artists and programmers that are working with us out there, let me also put a plug in that all the young people that are working with us are absolutely excellent, dedicated kinds of people. We've got a lot of young people that have worked for a lot of different game companies. They're really good at what they do. And, of course, this is a young person's sport at the end of the day, and they are the ones that really drive what's going on. What's really interesting about being in Canada is that the particular province that we're in is one of the provinces in Canada that is really doing the best economically right now. We have been one of the recession-proof provinces and have probably one of the most productive workforces in North America. What might be a little twisted with that is that when you get winter that runs from November till the end of April, you might as well sit and work on games because there's nothing else to do.
Exactly. Great. And what are some of the goals and milestones that the management team hopes to accomplish over the course of the upcoming year?
Well, I think milestone number one is we want to get funded up to the point where we're ready to do distribution. We also want to nail down at least one major international partner, which we're working on right now. And so we're hoping in the next 6 to 8 months that we'll be able to nail something like that down. And we very much are wanting to get set up so that we can be in some of the very populous countries that are out there. So milestones for us are get up, get shipped, North America, number one. Number two, get ready to go overseas. And number three, try and get within profitability in about the 16 to 18 month range, where we can see some very nice returns for our shareholders.
Great. And so in terms of investors, Richard, do you think that right now investors understand the general direction and the message of the company?
I think so. I think that investors understand that, number one, the game industry is a great place to be. I think that they understand that it is a risky place to be, but because it is risky, the reward is proportionate to the risk that they're taking. And I think, number three, they can see it's not hard to think about the number impact of what we're doing from a tournament perspective. And so our business plan is pretty easy to comprehend. And we really feel like so far that we've presented it in a pretty simple fashion that people can kind of hang on to. And, of course, for us being a young company and the market just kind of starting to seem like it's, you know, it's starting to creak its way up, it's a great time to get on board right now.
Well, great. And once again, joining us today is Richard Buckley, President and CEO of Far Vista Interactive out in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. The company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is FVSTA, and is right now currently trading slightly north of 18 cents a share. And so before we conclude, Richard, just to kind of rehash everything, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider FVSTA as a good long-term investment play?
Well, absolutely. I think if the recession has shown anything, being in the gaming space is a great place to be. We seem to be not affected by the upturn downturns quite as much as some other industries are. We're a little less volatile. Number two, the rewards that come with your investment can be very, very substantial, and so it's an exciting place to be. And number three, because we're going to be coming first into this particular kind of space, that is a nice coattail to run, as opposed to coming in being the 10th company to try and fight some other guys that are in that space. So it really is we really are at a pivotal place where it's a nice place to come and join us at this time.
Great. Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth, as well as report on your future progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and to update our investors.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been great fun. And, of course, our investors are always welcome to come and check us out on farvistainteractive.com.
Great.